On this episode of Still Loading, we're flying on wings of wax. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode in the 4440 series, I am covering the game Kid Icarus. And before I even jump into that, just, I guess, to talk a little bit about why there have been so many episodes this month. I figured for the month of December, just as, like, a little Christmas present to anyone who actually listens, but also to kind of get me in the flow of things, just keep on trucking and, you know, get more ideas, that kind of thing. I wanted to do an episode each week. So get ready. There's going to be another episode next Sunday as well, you know, the day before Christmas, Christmas Eve. And then there's going to be an episode the week after, New Year's Eve. So get ready for all those, or I guess look out for them. So let's jump into this. This week's episode, I covered Kid Icarus. Now, I couldn't find a guest for this one, unfortunately, but let's dive into it. Let's do what I always do with all these, right? Let's talk about the box art. So, I guess, to preface it, Kid Icarus is, once again, a game for the NES. It was developed, it's one of Nintendo's, like, earlier games. It was released in 1987, and it's part of Nintendo's Adventure series, as I can see on the box here. And it has a password pack advertisement on the front. Ho ho! And for those who don't know, with the password pack, those are basically things where, you know, you had passcodes. There was no save option, so you would write down this passcode so that way you could get back to the portion of the game that you were at and you wouldn't have to start over from the beginning. You'll hear more about save features on video games a little bit more next week, so get ready for that one. In any case, so in the front of the box, it just shows artwork from the game. It says Kid Icarus. It's got a nice shiny silver, like, packaging. My box is a little bit worse for wear, or has a little bit of wear and tear, I should say. There's some tears in it, but it's still in its original shape, so that's a plus. And yeah, you see Pit. Not Icarus is not the name of the character. Pit is the name of the character. And there's just some enemies on screen and a platform. There's really nothing fancy about it. You just see the pixels. I mean, if I ever wanted to make a perler bead Kid Icarus thing, this would be perfect because it actually lays it out pixel by pixel for me. On the back of the box, what it says, get ready for the action and adventure of Greek mythology translated to the video age. I don't know, what kind of an interesting advertisement. Far away, in a kingdom called Angelland, the evil goddess Medusa has stolen the three sacred treasures and imprisoned the goddess of light, Palutena. Sorry, didn't read. Like I said, this is all first try, so I read this on the fly. As Kid Icarus, your mission is to find its pit. Damn it! It even says it in the game. Whatever. As Kid Icarus, your mission is to find the treasures, destroy Medusa, and rescue Palutena from the depths of the palace in the sky. That's weird, right? I mean, it said the depths, but the palace is depths. Usually associate, you know, with, you know, down in the ground, whatever. I know I'm being too technical, but I just found that weird. To find the treasures, you'll have to travel through ruins, collecting weapons and storing power for use in combat against creatures of Medusa's army. Use your bow and arrow to ward off gatekeepers of the underworld, overworld, and skyworld as you strive towards the battle against Medusa. Will you survive to restore Palutena's light and turn it to Angelland? Only you know. And wow, I actually didn't realize that there's a two-player game with this. There's a two-player alternating game, that I guess you can just, you know, switch back and forth when one person dies. I mean, I didn't try this. Like I said, I played this by myself. I couldn't really get a guest for this one. But yeah, and then before I go on to the gameplay, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's in the actual, manual. Because once again, these are all complete in box. And but this, it has a lot of stuff in the manual. I'm looking at it right now. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 pages of story. And I'm pretty sure it's just a longer version of what I read on the back of the box. So I'm not going to bore you by rereading all of it. But I will say the artwork is really well done. Though it is strange, it has a picture of what looks like Medusa teaching children, and she's got a smile on her face, and I don't really know how to make this. I don't know how to describe this. I will definitely post a picture on Sunday or later. You know, sorry, I'm recording this the day before. I will post a picture of this after the episode is up, just to show you what I'm talking about. It's very strange. I've never really seen anything like. Well, I'm sure I've seen. It's weird. It's really weird. But no, like the artwork is really, really good, and. At least for like the little cartoon artwork. So I'll post some pictures of the artwork in this because I'm actually really impressed by it. I like it's fun, it's cute, it's cartoony. It's really strange for something that is talking about, you know, Kid Icarus or Pit, excuse me, fighting Medusa. It's got some really cutesy art in it, but I like it a lot. And then it just goes through, it breaks down, you know, the title screen and that kind of thing. And it's kind of funny now that I'm looking at this, I can totally see like. This was before we actually had legit screenshots, because this totally, you can see like a glare on the TV of the screenshot they took for the title screen. It's kind of amusing. And then it gives you, you know, the controls and blah, blah, blah. It goes through some of the, all the different weapons. There's a total of 1, 2, 3, 4 worlds, and then you fight Medusa at the end of the fourth. You have stage 1, the underworld, stage 2, the overworld, stage 3, the sky world, and then once you defeat all 3 fortress gatekeepers, you can go get the 3 sacred treasures and fight Medusa. So, yeah, and some of the weapons, you get your sacred bow, you have protective crystal, you have fire arrows, you get your 3 sacred treasures, excuse me, wings of Pegasus allows Pit to fly in stage 4. That's the final one. The hearts, you can use, you kind of like Castlevania, the hearts that you collect from killing enemies are used to spend, excuse me, to spend money. It's essentially currency. You use it to buy upgrades for Pit. And I swear they just keep changing. I could have sworn, yeah, it says allow Pit to fly, but then they refer to him as Kid Icarus. It's all over the damn place in this manual. They just go all over. Then they bring it into various inhabitants, and they talk about the Kobold, the Commilus, that's an interesting one, Magoo, like Mr. Magoo, I'm just picturing like some old guy just wandering around on the screen and he like one-shots you, Ganymede, Mono-Eye, Nettler, Twin Bellows, which is essentially like a two-headed, it's like Cerberus but with two heads. It's cool, they actually break down each of these different characters. There's like a, not Metroid, it's called a Komaito? K-O-M-A-Y-T-O. You guys can figure that one out. Komaito, I guess? But it's essentially just a Metroid. It looks just like a Metroid, but, you know, it's not a Metroid because it's a different game. But it's weird that they stole that character design. In any case, that's really enough for the manual. To talk about the gameplay, I guess, it's pretty basic. It's addictive, though. It's not trying to knock it for saying that it's basic, but it's, you know, it's not anything standout-ish. It's kind of like a vertical Mario instead of horizontal. Well, vertical Mega Man, I guess, is a better example. Except your shots don't go all the way across the screen like Mega Man's does. But, yeah, no, you scroll up as you, it's pretty much all vertical. You don't really go side to side generally. And while that is cool, that actually the most unique part of the game, because you just go vertical, but what's cool is if you go to the left or right side, it'll spawn you back, it'll bring you over to the other side of the screen. So you can, the game designers have puzzles, not really puzzles, but it's a really cool mechanic where you'll come to a dead end, but if you walk off to the right side of the screen, you'll come back on the left, and then you can continue upwards, because it's going almost in like a zigzag type of, not a zigzag, like parallel lines going diagonally up, like with the steps. That's the best way I can describe it. So once you get to the edge of the screen, you just walk to the right, and now you're on the left side, and you can continue on your way up, if that makes any sense. You can obviously do it the other way, too, if that's how the level's designed, but that creates its most unique gameplay aspect, because you can kind of traverse the level in unique ways if you want to. The problem with it also is that also like Mario, the screen does not go back down. So by you moving up, if you fall, you're dead. You can, even if there's platforms that were underneath you at one point in time, essentially the death level of the screen just, you know, or death level, the death line, if you want to call it that, just keeps rising as you go up. So you can't go back down, and it gets kind of frustrating because if you miss a jump and there's no platforms on the screen to catch you, doesn't matter if there was platforms before, you're gone. So it's kind of tough. And then on top of that, they throw a lot of enemies at you with a lot of different patterns. There's some enemies that turn you into, like, eggplant things, looking things. I only played a little bit of the first level, so I watched a speedrun of it, and it's fascinating, like, the way that the guy was playing it. What's really interesting, you can only fire, like, one or two shots at a time, but to get rid of that, what the speedrunner was doing is that you mash down, you alternate down and B at the same, like, you know, alternate hitting them as fast as you can, and by crouching in midair, it cancels the delay time for you to fire again, so you can rapid fire as long as you mash those two alternating. It's really strange how it works, but it probably would make some of the boss fights easier, because some of them that I'm watching, the patterns aren't hard to pick out. There's like this weird dragon thing that would, you know, hop up and down, and you could easily anticipate its arc, so it's not difficult at all in terms of dodging necessarily once you kind of figure out his arc, but he has like 180 hits, so you're going to be there for a very long time, especially if you don't know how to do the rapid fire with that alternating crouch and fire button. It's really difficult. The game overall is just pretty generic, other than the fact that it's pretty fucking, excuse me, relentlessly difficult, and that, and you die if you fall by accident. Like, there's no technically thing as fall damage, but at the same time there is, because if you fall off the screen, you're dead. Overall, the music was pretty good too. I liked the intro theme. Each level theme fit pretty well. I could not really picture myself listening to the title theme too frequently, because it's very high, and with NES music, the higher the pitch, it can get a little grating on your ears, if you know what I mean. Still really, really cool, really cool song, at least the title song is. Definitely go give that a listen. I've actually seen people do piano renditions of it, and I really, really like it on the piano more than I actually like it on the NES, which doesn't always happen. I usually like the original hardware's music, but sometimes when it's buried in all the limitations of the hardware, it takes just a good arranger to bring it out of that, and you can actually hear the song. It's kind of like how sometimes I don't like pop songs normally, but when it's covered by someone else and they do a unique interpretation on it, I generally like it more than what the original was. In any case, I don't really have much more to talk about with this game, especially since I didn't have anyone to really, you know, talk to about with it, but I definitely suggest giving it a shot. It is considered a classic on the original Nintendo, and I would agree with it. It was compelling, it was engaging. I did want to keep playing it. The only reason I really stopped playing is because I sucked. It's a tough-ass game, so if you're looking for a good challenge, definitely give it a play. It is engaging, it is fun, the controls are tight, it's kind of floaty, but in a good way, because you're wearing wings, so it's all part of it. You're supposed to kind of float a little bit as you jump. So yeah, definitely give it a shot. It's a really good game. I can't really recommend it any more than that. Not the best one I've played on this 40 for 40 series, but as you've heard in some of my other ones, nowhere near to the worst. It's no Dirty Harry, let me just say that. It's much better than that. Alright, so thank you all for listening. Please follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at StillLoadingPod on each of them, so you can keep up with any of the things I'm doing. I haven't been able to post recently because work's been kind of nuts, but I will try to get back to posting some of the pictures of my game collection and like upcoming episodes and things like that, and random video game events that I end up going to. And also, please rate, review, and subscribe the show. I mean, just the more people can rate and review it, the more chance it'll get out there and get some good and get more exposure. So I'd also like to give a quick shout out to my friends over at Two Guys in a Game and The Hotter Show. Both of these are fantastic podcasts. I definitely suggest giving them a listen. Two Guys in a Game is another video game podcast, and The Hotter Show is just kind of like a talk show. The host, TJ Hotter, interviews local bands and other things, just whatever catches his interest. Both of these shows are really good. They've been super supportive of me, and I can't thank them enough for it, so I want to also give them shout-outs because they've been awesome. And not only are they awesome people, I also really do enjoy their shows. The most recent episode of Two Guys in a Game was talking about their favorite Star Wars games, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And also the most recent episode of The Hotter Show, which I have not listened to yet, is a holiday one. I'm looking forward to that because I enjoyed the last two. So once again, please give them a listen. And to close it all out, just a real quick announcement. Next week's episode, the day before Christmas, I'm looking forward to a lot. It's already recorded. I just got to do some editing, but I really think you're going to like it. So please give it a listen. And until next time, guys, I'll see you then.